Hey, today is March 18th, 2010. I'm Sherry Bowers, the local history coordinator, and I'm sitting here with Jeff Giesen, and we are going to have a conversation about the photograph that was taken of him by Larry Lambert 20 years ago. This project is both an oral history and a retake of photographs 20 years ago. So I will let Jeff start talking about the photograph and what he does for a living. Jeff, tell us about the photograph 20 years ago, because you are here pictured in your craft as a barber.
Well, my hair's not as gray.
Your hair's not as...
But a lot in the photograph, there is a lot of the background is similar to what it is today. You know, various items, the Mickey Mouse telephone and the mugs and things like that under the back bar, and the wallpaper's different. I'm considerably younger.
And your glasses have changed.
Yes. But Larry does a good job.
You know, it's interesting to see people in their setting, and especially when you mentioned some of the similarities. 20 years ago, when did you start as a barber?
I actually have been cutting hair for about 30 years or 31 years, right in there. Started in a shop in Sandusky called That's Us Hair Designers with two other barbers, and that's kind of where I got my start. I started out part-time, and I was there for about 4 years, and then Mr. Gliotta was getting ready to retire, and he flagged me in and asked if I'd be willing to relocate to Milan, and it was a perfect fit for me, so, 'cause I grew up in Milan. So.
Oh, so you took over because he was retiring.
Mm-hmm.
So. And that's been how many years again?
26 years ago.
Years. Okay. And you said you grew up in Milan. That I didn't know. So you graduated from Edison High School?
Yes. Yep. 1975.
Okay. So you're already familiar with your clientele.
Yeah. That's it. That's why I say it was a perfect fit, because many people that really didn't want to have to drive to Sandusky were more than happy to, you know, come in into Milan here. So, yeah, I had Lenny's, Mr. Gliotta's built-in clientele from when he retired, plus I added several of my own friends and acquaintances and stuff.
You know, over the course of the last few months, I've noticed in the newspaper some barbers retiring. Tell me a little bit about the market for barbers, because, you know, I see barbers around. I know many of them, you know, that have been established in business for many years. Is there like a market that you're looking at, or do you see the need for replacing these barbers, or do you think there's going to be it's going to be more spread out? Will there be fewer in a certain area, or does that really change with the trends too?
I think there will be fewer barbers, just from my experience in this area. Most of us are older. Most of the ones that I know are, you know, probably 8 to 10 years older than myself, if not older than that. And there doesn't seem to be a big group of new barbers coming into this area anyway. Because when we start to look around and see, you know, what's happening in our business, most barbers just, when they retire, they just kind of close up shop, and that's that. So I'm not really sure why that is. Of course, our society's changed a lot, because we've got a lot of, instead of like independent businesses, you've got a lot of chain stores with, you know, Best Cuts and Chicago 29 and those types of places. And those are all staffed by cosmetologists rather than barbers. But I still hear frequently, you know, people or the guys that I talk with, you know, oh, I just want to find a barber, you know, I want a barber to cut my hair. We, as far as our training goes, we concentrate more on hair cutting, where with cosmetology, they do hair cutting, but they also do, you know, a lot of chemical treatments, you know, whether it be perms or colors, nails come into that and stuff like that. So we're kind of a little more specialized in just the hair cutting.
You know, my sister-in-law went to barber school, but she also has her cosmetologist license.
I do too.
Okay. So in the way I understand this, correct me if I'm wrong, usually If there's a cosmetologist and barber, a barber shop, don't they have to be separate entrances, or is it separate, just a separation of the two because of licensing? Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've looked into that, but yeah, the last thing that I had heard that there has to be at least some sort of partition in the shop itself, and you know, separate doors would be even better, I'm sure. Because we do have two different governing bodies as far as overseeing, you know, how we're regulated and run.
You know, I would like to know, or tell me about the types of cuts, because when I was in and when I came in with Larry, I found it interesting because of the similarity of how the shop looked 20 years ago. I know that there are still cuts that, you know, our traditional cuts. My husband still likes to sometimes get the traditional flat top. I know there are many different cuts. Barbers know, at least that's what I understand, there are many different types of cuts. But tell me about those kinds of trends, because we talked about little boy haircuts and the first time haircut you give often to little boys. Tell me about some of the styles that have come into vogue and go back out again, or is there some things like the flat top that remain a constant?
Yeah, I do a fair amount of customers that do wear the flat tops, and I still do those. When I first moved over here back in the mid-80s, it was tough for me because I really hadn't done a flat top since barber college, and because in Sandusky we were doing more styling back then, you know, and so I had to kind of re-gear and relearn some of those old traditional cuts. And, you know, the one constant that we have is you know, shorter on the sides, a little bit longer on top, you know, maybe a part and just a short cropping on top. That's kind of the most popular that I do in and out, you know, as far as day in and day out. You always have those trends, you know. Right now, the younger people are wearing their hair longer again, you know, kind of the shaggy look and stuff. And that does affect my business somewhat, you know, because either they just let it go completely and don't do anything, or they tend to go to a cosmetologist, you know, that's used to doing a little bit longer hair. Although I have my fair share of customers that still come in just to get it trimmed up, even though they're wearing it a little bit longer. But by and large, most of my customers wear it a little bit shorter. Part of it too is I believe that, you know, as I get older, my clientele is getting older with me. I'm probably not getting as many young people as I used to when I was younger too. So
I wonder, do you still have your fair share of mothers or fathers that bring in their sons for the first haircut?
Yes. Is that? Yes. Yeah, and for some, it's just kind of a, you know, we're just going to bring him in and we'll see how he does. But for others, it's kind of a big production. They bring the cameras and the video cameras, and, you know, they want me to save a lock of hair and an envelope for them. And, you know, just it's a big deal to some. For others, it's just a matter of getting the haircut accomplished.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know at one time, or I still think this is probably true, and that's the shave. Barbers still do shaves or trim beards as often as they used to? Or how has that changed over the course of when you started? Or can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I do, you know, trim up beards. I do several of those. As far as facial shaves, I don't do those anymore. Years ago, the barber board sent out a letter and they recommended that we did not do that anymore. They didn't say we couldn't. They just recommended that we didn't in this age of litigation and communicable diseases. Mm-hmm. They just thought it would be beneficial if we did not. And I don't do it primarily because of time constraints. You know, it takes a long time to do a shave properly. And, you know, for what I'd have to charge, it just didn't seem like it would be a worthwhile service. I do shave around the ears and the neck if they want me to do that. So I still use the straight edge in that regard.
Okay. I just wondered about that because, you know, especially when you look at older pictures or see pictures of the razor and those tools that pertain to it. I wondered about that, but I guess it does make sense with how things have changed and the risk of cuts and especially, you know, that type of blood issue. You have to worry about that. Let's go back a little bit to when you first started out, because you said that at first you weren't doing the flat tops as much, and I wonder what is the, do you think is the biggest or the most shocking change that happened with hair, or was there a time that it was just or a certain hairstyle that you kind of cringed over that? Because we've had some throughout the years, some, you know, we go and look back at hairstyles and kind of laugh. Is there a time that you can kind of remember you hated a particular hairstyle, or?
I don't know if I hated a particular hairstyle, but there was a period of time where the younger kids, when I say that, primarily like junior high and high school, primarily junior high, I would say, they were getting lines cut into their hair to the scalp and stuff like that, and designs, Nike swishes and things like that. And that's a little more challenging, you know, just because it takes time and you know, you do your best with it, but, you know, sometimes they're not willing to sit still, and it just creates some challenges there. And another style that really stands out, it's not that I didn't like to do it, but it was the old bowl cuts. You know, they kind of look like Mo on the Three Stooges or whatever. That was real popular for a while. And recently, you know, the little younger kids, a lot of them like to get mohawks in the summertime, you know, so that's kind of fun. I don't mind that, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there's a certain style that I really cringed at doing, but I will say that I was more comfortable with some styles than mm-hmm. I was cutting others, you know. So I guess in that regard, I would say that maybe I cringed inside a little bit just because I didn't feel as qualified as I should be to do it, so.
You know, occasionally you see challenges, especially for sports teams. If you know, if somebody, if they win a particular championship, you know, there's going to be, everyone gets their hair cut or shaved off. Did you ever participate in anything like that, or did you ever have a local team that won something and everyone came in to get their head shaved or something like that?
I don't recall ever doing that, no. Usually... especially nowadays, if they were to do that, they'd probably just do it in the locker room, because everybody, not everybody, but many people have their own set of clippers now. And that's another challenge that we face. You know, I mean, people are content just to, you know, buzz their hair off at home, and you can't really blame them, you know, if they're mm-hmm. able to do it. You know, it might not be quite as professional, but, mm-hmm. you know, they can save a few bucks. And, you know, it kind of harkens back to the, when I was a kid, you know, in the summer times, my dad would get the clippers out and just shave me in the backyard. You know, I wasn't particularly fond of it, but, you know, you didn't have much say. And that is kind of recycling itself, you know, as the economy is a little bit tighter now and things like that. People just, you know, people just kind of taking matters into their own hands in that regard. And I will say, too, that nowadays, you know, just about anything goes. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. you've got anything from the real long and shaggy stuff to, you know, it's not unusual to see somebody, even young people, with hair just completely buzzed off. You know, there was a time when everybody was kind of conforming to the same styles, but that's not really the case anymore.
I've noticed that, too. It's interesting, even among older men. But I do want to say something to you. It's funny when you talk about your dad shaving your or taking the clippers to your hair, because my husband and his brother had the same, you know, scenario. You know, usually when it was time, every couple weeks, their dad would take them out on the front porch, and that was their haircut, and not by choice. But it's interesting, and I think you know, you hear that oftentimes people, or especially men, saying that, yes, well, my father used to just take the clippers to my hair. But about the varied styles that are out there, you know, that is interesting. It is true. I think about it, because I know even with my sons have gone back and forth from a little bit longer hair, then all of a sudden they want short hair. And, you know, even my husband has worn his hair very different, because he was in the military, and for years it was, you know, a shorter cut, and now it's much longer. And it is funny, even in the schools, when you're around the schools, to see the differences in the hairstyles, which I think is kind of neat. It's unique.
I know my son, he's always just had his hair butched, you know, buzzed off. I really don't know why. I guess it's just something that he doesn't have to fool with. But he's always just been more comfortable with that than anything else. So, in a way, I'm kind of thankful for that. But I really wouldn't care how he wore his hair. You know, it's not an issue with me. But for some, it is.
Now, I had asked you this before when we stopped in to retake your photograph. Occasionally, you do get females that come in and, you know, because I always still think of a barbershop as a male, you know, dominated place, except if I'm taking my sons there. But I believe you told me you have one or two females that do come in for their hair. And
yes, actually, probably several more than a couple. It used to be when I first started, I did a lot of females. I kind of wanted to have like this complete family style barbershop, you know, barbershop in name only. And I was doing, you know, a lot of young ladies and perms and things like that. But as the, you know, the years rolled on, I got busy enough with just hair cutting, and I just kind of preferred to do that. It's just so much simpler than, you know, trying to keep up with all the styles. And frankly, I when you're dealing with ladies, you know, you really have to be on your toes as far as the current fashions and things like that. And because I don't offer colors or anything like that, you know, it kind of limits me. And so I still do several ladies, and most of their haircuts are of the shorter variety. Mm-hmm. Some are a little bit longer, but, you know, it's all kind of the same. When I say that, you know, a haircut, there are certain fundamental aspects of every haircut, you know, and, you know, when you have the basics down, you can do a lot of different things.
That's what I wondered about, you know, like you just mentioning fundamentals. And I guess when I think about probably you doing ladies' haircuts, I see the more shorter version, because there are women who can, you know, wear their hair very short and they wear it well. And I was, so I that's kind of what I've envisioned when you tell me you have, you know, female clientele, those women that prefer that shorter hair and can wear it like that. What about a longer cut? Would it be just a very straight or a very, I don't know how to describe it, but perhaps without using the correct terminology, please correct me, as like a standard cut for those who wear longer hair? Is there like a basic, like you said, a basic cut?
Again, there's certain fundamentals that, you know, are incorporated with various, excuse me, with various styles. And, you know, you learn the fundamentals, the basics, and you can kind of put things together as far as, you know, whether it's a one length style or if you have layers in it. You know, a lot of things I do oftentimes is with a razor, you know, do like some razor cutting and texturizes it a little differently. And so, you know, you can really do a lot of different things with just a haircut. It doesn't have to be, you know, permed or those types of things to, you know, have it look good, you know. But without perming, you know, you are somewhat limited as to, you know, the styles that, you know, you can do. So,
you know, going back to the picture, and you were talking about how so many things have remained the same, I noticed too with the some of the tools of your trade, like the one thing I'm going to point in the picture that is actually used for flat tops. Mm-hmm. And please forgive me, but it reminds me of a fly swatter. I don't know how else to describe it, but that's a tool. So, you know, of course, scissors are probably scissors. Have the tools basically remained the same? Because I know sometimes technology changes things slightly, but would you say that basically, I'm sure you use probably what, different size scissors or multiple scissors and razors, anything that really changed in terms of barber technology or techniques?
Not that I can think of. You know, like you say, shears are shears, and you know, we have the thin, what people call thinning shears or blending shears. You know, the clippers are all pretty much the same. One thing that has changed somewhat is they now have cordless clippers, but I've not really found any that I really like. You know, I mean, you get used to a certain type of tool, like my primary clipper that I've used it since barber college, the very same brand and everything else. And So, maybe that's part of the tradition of a barbershop, is the tools remain pretty much the same.
Okay. Well, speaking of the same clients that come in, you said that a lot of your clients have aged as well or grown old, too. What about barbershop talk? Or is there, when you go into, I think most places, even for women who go into shops that are just primarily, cosmetologists, are the conversations in general still the same? Do they go along the lines of either politics or the economy or what's current locally in the news? Is that any trends or changes in that kind of conversation?
No, I don't think so. I think, day-to-day conversation in the barbershop is probably similar to day-to-day conversation in a coffee shop. What is the current news is usually brought up, as mundane as it is. People are talking about the weather right now because they're so tired of wintertime, they just love these, beautiful sunny days. But, politics and sports are always a big thing, So it's kind of, it's kind of always been the same, but sometimes attitudes change a little bit, people are kind of a little more pessimistic now than in the past, because things are hard around here right now. The economy's tough and, jobs are scarce. And so you kind of sense a little harder edge to the conversation with some, Then there's the others that just are determined to stay positive no matter what the circumstances, and that's pretty uplifting.
That is, and it's interesting because you wonder, if you were to turn back to the times, of course, oftentimes people have said that this economy is very close to what the Depression was like in terms of being very, with all the job losses and things that are going on. I wonder if... back in the 1930s, if we would ask someone back then about the conversations and if they would talk about that same sense of, somewhat pessimistic attitude about what's going on. And I also wonder, if I believe you have a TV in
yes.
your shop, of course that's changed things too, because, we have, even in local restaurants, a lot of times we have the TVs, so we see images constantly that can add to the conversation or spark additional conversation. It makes me go back to something, of course, in our time recently that drew people in, September 11th. Those kinds of things that stopped time. Do you remember that day? And the reason I ask you that, because of the conversations that go on in coffee shops and barbershops, how was that day for you? And because you get a lot of local residents, did you find that, did you felt pretty much like everyone else in the country? Were you glued? Did you kind of stop? What was it like for you that day? Do you recall?
Yeah, I do. And I think I was just like everyone else that was coming through the shop. They were just stunned. There really wasn't much to be said other than, why did this happen? And how could this happen? That kind of thing. But everybody else, was just like myself, we just couldn't believe it was happening. It seemed very surrealistic, I guess you'd call it. But, excuse me. But, it's kind of like the day that the space shuttle blew up. It was kind of the same thing, people were just kind of like, whoa, look at that, and how could this happen? So there are those defining moments that, you remember very clearly, even though every day is different, but every day is kind of the same in the big picture, as far as, same location, same same job, just different customers each day. So.
I've asked some of the other individuals that, that have been interviewed for this project, and can you tell me anything that's strikingly funny about what you've done, or something that you could share a story that's kind of funny that happened over the course of your work here. Because the reason I ask you that is because sometimes working with the public, things happen, and maybe not. Maybe in your line of work, like you said, there's a lot of things that are just are the day to day things. But I just wondered if you had anything to share like that.
I don't really have any specific any specific stories, but. I have a lot of fun, and I think a lot of people that come in enjoy, being there. We kind of, don't take ourselves too seriously and stuff like that. But for me, it's just kind of like Floyd's Barbershop on the Andy Griffith Show. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just kind of kooky, and you get some crazy conversation, and it's always entertaining, it's very enjoyable work.
Talk about entertaining. I remember you mentioning you had the Mickey Mouse telephone, and I think Mickey was gone for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the story behind the Mickey Mouse telephone?
One day, my mom brought that in, and I thought, this thing won't last 6 months, because I had been through three or four phones. They'd last 6 months to a year, and this thing just looked so cheap. And as you can tell, it's been there 20 years or longer, and it just keeps going and going. I did have a problem with the handset for a while, but I was able to find a new one on eBay and replaced it, and it is kind of a fixture at the shop.
That's probably been one of the fun things about comparing the both photographs is looking at the things that are so very similar from 20 years ago, or things that remain the same, like the mugs. Like you said, the wallpaper's different. I still see that you're an Indians fan. changing. When we went over to Jim's Pizza Box, it was kind of ironic too. Back in the kitchen, when he took a photograph back in the same spot, the same type of style wash bucket was there, and I think a pizza roller. I'm not sure what it's called, but that same type of tool was there 20 years ago. That he still uses.
Well, I'm a person of, I don't know what the right term is, I guess, but I don't mind not changing much, mm-hmm. I'm just a person that, that's comfortable with routine, and which is good. I guess maybe part of what I'm comfortable with is good for my business, but my business has kind of formed me into being comfortable with routine, because it's a routine job, mm-hmm. Things don't change much, I mean, obviously the people are different every single day, and that's mm-hmm. fun, but it's pretty much the same thing day in and day out.
Do you wonder if, you said you graduated from Edison High School, so you grew up in this area, and one of the things that has struck me in some of the retakes of the photographs, the similarities and some of the things about a small town that haven't changed. And I wonder if, do you often wonder, I think all of us do at some point, would we have gone into a different profession, or what other things might have interested us besides what we do? And when did you know that you wanted to become a barber?
I actually kind of fell into it, in a sense that when I graduated high school, I was fortunate enough to get a job at Ford Motor Company in Avon Lake, but working third shift, 6 days a week, assembly line. It just wasn't something I was cut out for. But I stayed there 2 years, saved up all my money. But during that time, I was kind of looking around for something that I could do. I thought at one time maybe being a chef or something like that. But the guys that I was going to who cut my hair, I just really enjoyed the environment and the camaraderie. And it seemed like this would be kind of fun to do. And I checked into it, and Barber College was only like 1 year long, the course. And I thought, rather than start out on a career path that it would take me 4 or 5 years to become qualified, I can stick anything out for a year. Mm-hmm. And so at least I have something to show for it, rather than, start at something and decide halfway through that I wasn't able to do it. So I tried it, and I did enjoy it, and I wound up getting a job with those people that kind of inspired me to get into it. And then, of course, a few years later, I wound up in Milan, which has been a wonderful thing for me.
You know, it's interesting, and I think that, you know, there have been a number of, or various books out, sometimes magazine articles about professions where you work more with your hands or have an artistic bent to them, such as what, you know, you do. And I think for a lot of people, you know, those things are just satisfying. You know, you talked about going, you know, starting out at an assembly line, and for some people that's just not it. And some of it seems like there's been a trend, or at least a lot more dialogue about professions that where you work with your hands, that there's a lot of satisfaction to that, and, you know, actually seeing a product that you produce. And that's why I asked you that question, because, you know, it's unfortunate. It seems like we don't see, there's not those opportunities anymore, like the apprenticeship type programs where people can try their hands and say, you know, maybe I like to build, or I'd like to do that. So I find it interesting that you know, you just kind of fell into it because you liked what you saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's been very good for me.
Now, the individual, Mr. Gliotta, that owned the shop, did he cut your hair?
When I was a kid, he did,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just kind of, everything kind of goes full circle, I guess.
But he wasn't the one that encouraged you to get into it. So.
No.
Okay.
But one aspect I would like to bring up is that one of the great things about being in business for 26 years is that I've got customers who I did their first haircut on them. They've grown up. Now they're bringing their children in for their first haircut and as kids. And so you have this generational thing, and it's really kind of neat to see people grow up and, you know, a lot of them, you know, move away because of their careers or whatnot. But then again, a lot of them will pop back in just to say hello or something like that. Or maybe if they can get a haircut at that time, they do. And that is one of the really great fringe benefits of doing something like this. You know, you really become attached to your customers and stuff. And on the flip side, one of the harder things about the job is to see people grow old and their health fail. They, you know, they pass mm-hmm. on, you know, and again, because you become very attached to them, and you're kind of like a cousin to them or a nephew to them or whatever, you know. And so that's one of the sadder things about it. But, you know, it's all part of the cycle of life, I guess.
Yeah. Well, certainly, you know, it seems like, especially in a small town where you grew up, and you have so many connections, and, you know, I guess you don't realize how much influence you have too. You know, when you start to reflect on these things and think about, like you mentioned, the having given somebody their first haircut, they grew up, and then how they're bringing their children back. You certainly are part of a cycle, a long cycle of this town. And can you, what would you say is probably your favorite thing about Milan? Because you were born here as well, right? Is
it? Well, I was born in Sandusky. We moved in when I was 9 years old. So, but I, you know, I've been around here more or less ever since. There are many things about Milan that are just fantastic. You know, that small town charm, you know, a lot of people, you know, compare it to Mayberry on the Andy Griffith Show. And, you know, the interesting characters that, you know, populate this town. And mm-hmm. there are a lot of them, you know. And it's just, a lot of people say they don't like small towns, but I love this town because, you know, people care about each other. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody's in trouble, other people try to help. And that's really special, because we're losing that in the world, you know, because mm-hmm. we're becoming so fast-paced, you know. Mm-hmm. I think a town like this, you know, we're still moving at a slow enough pace that we take notice of our neighbors, and if they need help, we try to help them. And, you know, it's a community. It's a real community.
And that seems, you know, and what strikes me too, and I think a lot of people don't realize, is the longevity of some of the businesses in this area, in the square, even with, you know, your business, Jim's Pizza Box, and the Wonder Bar. and other places that, you know, I'm not thinking of offhand, but still that, you know, to say that you've been in this same area for a long time, you know, this, it's not something you see too often anymore, where businesses come and go, you know, even in the more heavily populated areas, but yet, you know, you're able to maintain and stay around. And that's a neat thing that distinguishes this community.
Yes. You covered it well. There's nothing I can really add.
You know, that's the what has been interesting about this project, is to be able to go around and reflect and think about these things, especially when you start doing a little more research about the history of the area and the businesses that have been here. That's what's striking. And part of the reason we wanted to do this project, Jeff, this has been a great conversation. Are there any things you want to add to this? Because, you know, this is kind of a 20-year reflection. And, you know, I've learned so much about things you sometimes don't sit down to take the time to learn about. Certainly your craft, what you do, your profession. Anything else that you would like to add?
Nothing specific. Just time goes by fast. You know, it's just hard to believe, you know, it's been 20 years since this picture, and it's been a great career for me. And you know, there's, like any career, there's trying times and there's good times, and you know, there's times where I don't make enough money, and there's times where I can't believe I get paid for what I do. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been blessed. You know, I've just kind of fallen into it, and I thank God every day because I've been blessed.
That's wonderful. Well, in another 20 years, Jeff, we'll have to look and see if some of the things are still the same on there. Maybe you'll change your wallpaper, and maybe you won't have any. Well, maybe you'll still have the Indians decal up there. Maybe by then there will be a pennant.
We can only hope.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. We can stop here now, and I appreciate you giving us a perspective of the last 20 years.
Thank you very much.